Hi, am I too loud?
That's the thing, right? Your voice and my voice are completely different, which I know is surprising for you.
But well, you were telling me that two human beings have got completely different voices.
Yeah, completely. They're not the same.
Yeah, which is lucky because people would just think, if they just thought your voice sounded like mine, right?
Yeah.
And they were listening to this podcast, they would think I've gone mental.
Where you're just talking to yourself.
Yeah, but not just talking to myself. Properly arguing and hating the puns the one half of me comes up with.
Yeah. Think about it. Yeah, that one.
That's better. Here you go. Lovely. Right, let's start the podcast.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
You're listening to episode 24 of Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and my good friend Morgan Richards.
It's me.
Hey. This week's guests are the... How can we describe them?
Right. The danceable EDM dubstep drum and bass rock act.
Metally. Yeah.
That is Mode Step.
Mode Step. Yes. Yes. Dubstep masters. I love it. Yeah, they're our guests this week, and we speak with Pat and Josh from Mode Step. The originally a four-piece, now a two-piece.
Yeah, well, they've been... And they've seen a lot of changes in the music industry, haven't they? In themselves and everything around them. So we're going to get
into all of that.
And then we're going to be talking about the rock world, the drum and bass, dubstep kind of world that they live in now and everything else in between. It's going to be great insight into totally different worlds colliding.
Pat talks about his time in the bands Rise to Remain and Funeral for a Friend as well.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a very interesting chat. So, yeah, it's really good. So, it's very insightful to hear from like a different musical world in a way as well.
Yeah, well, they're our first guests who of that kind of music genre, really, aren't they? So,
definitely.
Yeah, they open up into all that, explain everything, and yeah, just let us know what it's like being in that world.
Absolutely fascinating. Keep listening for Mode Step. But before we get into Mode Step, what are we doing, Morg?
News.
Well, that's the theme now. News.
Well, we haven't got a fancy news jingle. Maybe we need to make that.
Oh, if anybody's listening to this wants to make us a news jingle, make us a news jingling.
Yeah.
Sampling news.
Yeah, okay.
Don't use that bit.
No.
Make it only.
Yeah. Things in the news.
Yes.
New music. The person we love to mention on this podcast, Tom DeLonge.
Yep.
Brought out a new song with Angels and Airwaves.
Oh, is he?
Called Rebel Girl.
Nice. Is it any good?
It's very good. I enjoyed it. I've been listening to it last week.
Is it though?
It's up my street. So.
Is it though? Well, it might be up your street, but is it any good though?
I think so.
All right. Well, I'll give it a listen.
Okay, yeah.
Ilan Rubin's in our band, isn't he?
Yes.
Former
drummer
for Lost Prophets.
Paramore.
Nine Inch Nails. Denver Harbor, which is his own band. Was Denver... The New Regime. He does a band where he is all of the members.
What?
He plays guitar, keyboards, drums, sings. There's a video of him doing all of that as well on
He's
online.
A very talented man.
Yeah.
I'd love to have him on the podcast at some point. Cause that
he would hate this.
It would blow our minds, I think.
He would hate this.
Why?
Because the time I spent with him...
Yeah.
He didn't like music... after 1983, and I told him I didn't like any music before 2001.
Okay.
Any rock music before 2001, and yeah, we just didn't really get on.
But
it'd still be nice to have him on.
Yeah, he's drummed on some amazing records.
Oh yeah, definitely. But
yeah,
we've stolen the light from Tom DeLonge.
Yeah,
anyway.
But Tom. Well, speaking of Tom DeLonge, he was in another band, wasn't he? Called Blink-182.
Was he?
He was. Funny enough.
All right. Yeah. Go on.
Yeah. Well, they've released.
I know what you were about to say.
In the summer, which is blew my mind a little bit because
together at last,
Blink-182.
Finally, do you know what? I am sick to the back teeth of emailing mark@blink182.com to say, when are you and Little Wayne, mind, I use his full title, full name, when are you and Little Wayne going to do a song and a tour together, you absolute maniacs?
Yeah, well, Blink-182 and Little Wayne will be touring together in the United States of America across the summer. And to announce this, they got together and recorded a version of What's My Age Again, but Lil Wayne rapping over the verse.
Yep.
And, yeah.
I don't know how I feel about it.
But
I want to love it. I want to love it. I really want to love it. I like Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
I like Mark Hoppus. I like Travis Barker. I like Matt Skiba.
Okay.
Together, I heard that song, and I don't know.
But the funniest thing is that the support for the tour is former Sabbath Podcast guests Neck Deep.
Friends of the podcast. FOP. Friends of the podcast, Neck Deep, you mean?
Okay, yes. What Sean said.
Yeah, I saw that.
So it kind of looks like that there was just like a pop punk party that Blink and Neck Deep were on, and then Lil Wayne has just turned up.
Gate crashed the party
and gone,
a million, yeah.
Yeah, and now he's just like, they can't get rid of him, so he's on the tour. That's what it looks like to me.
Yeah, but I bet he'd be furious. I know Little Wayne listens to this, and he'd be furious if you've said that now.
Oh, sorry.
I, for one, love Little Wayne. I'd like him to be on you.
So would I. I'd like, well, to be fair, if they did one of those shows in the UK, I'd be very much up for going.
And I'd very much like to have all three of those bands on.
Well, we've had...
Bands? Lil John's not a band. No, it's not even Lil John. Oh my God, I'm messing my Lils up. Lil Wayne, man. Isn't it mad? Lil John, Lil Wayne. I've never thought of it as just two plain names, like. What's your rap name?
John Wayne.
Lil Keith. Nice. John Wayne. I wonder, oh, is it a conspiracy?
We've gone too far.
We get Alex Jones
anyway,
on
you. Pull it back.
Yep.
Speaking of tours, though.
Oh, good.
Another tour I wanted to mention that was announced this week was that Thrice and Refused are co-headlining the UK.
All of my friends are in a WhatsApp group and they're all sorting out trips to go and watch this right now.
I saw it and I was like, "What? To get together? They're playing shows together. Yeah. I will be there.
I'm going to be, yeah. Good. I'm going to go. I might even go to Amsterdam, which is the 3rd of November, I believe. Yeah, I might do.
Just for
unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's going to be fabulous.
It's going to be...
we're just saying words.
Yeah.
We're just saying really...
You can hear my voice can't comprehend that is happening. So I'll be at one of those shows and I'll be the one who's jumping around like an old man who's lost his marbles.
Weird.
Okay.
I got a bit of news, Morg.
Have you?
Friend of the podcast, Mark Andrews.
What? WWE superstar Mark Andrews.
Yes, and also bassist in the rock band Junior.
Yes.
Well, Junior have just announced that they have an album coming out in the summer called Beautiful Life.
Ooh.
It'll be their debut album.
Yeah.
Which means first, Morg.
I knew Cardiff,
and you might not know that.
Right. Were you from Earth? Or what? Anyway.
Yeah. And to celebrate the announcement, they've released a song called Playing a Part, which they've got a really cool video for on the YouTube.
Funny enough, I was just listening to that before I arrived here.
Were you?
Yes.
How was it?
I very much enjoyed it.
I like it a lot too. So check that out. And congratulations to the chaps.
Yes. I can't wait to hear the full record.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, while you're on about things to check out.
Yes.
Our social media is really cool to check out, isn't it, Sean?
Sometimes.
It can be very exciting.
It can be. On Twitter and Instagram, go to @sappeninpod, SAPPENINPOD. That's both websites, Twitter and Instagram, @sappeninpod, SAPPENINPOD.
Yes, give us a follow and check out all of our content on there of exciting news.
Consents. I'm trademarking that. Content and nonsense.
Yes. Yeah, So check us out on there. Give us a cheeky follow and...
A cheeky follow?
I winked. I winked.
You winked? Who are you winking at? You're not even looking at me.
You follow us, so there's no point in me winking at you.
Yeah, but you're just winking into the air, you creep. What are you winking at? Ghosts? You perv. What was that? Winking into the abyss. Oh, just putting a wink out there into the ether. Oh, I know. Oh, if they can hear this wink now. What are you on about, you maniac? Anyway, forget this pervert. If you've enjoyed any of the last 24 after this, we've done an whole day of content now. Some poor bugger could literally waste a day listening to us talk bollocks to people.
Yeah, well, to be fair, some of our episodes are even longer than an hour.
So we might even be already over it. Anyway, if you've enjoyed any of this nonsense, please think about helping us out and supporting us by going to patreon.com/sapnin. There's loads of different stuff on there that you can choose from. And yeah, look, I won't go into it too much because I feel bad. Yeah.
But what I will mention, that OE support does mean the hell of a lot to us.
Oh, yeah.
And the lowest tier actually gets you into the Facebook community group, which is the top laugh, and everyone becomes great friends in there talking about the podcast and other just life things in general, and it's just mad.
Oh, yeah. One of them's made a Twitter, Instagram, right, Twitter for your eyebrows.
I don't want to get into this. My eyebrows now has their own Twitter fan account.
Yeah.
And... as I sound as excited as you can hear, why?
Yeah, innit? Anyway, maniacs, I love it, though. I love it. It's nice to see you getting bullied for change.
Yeah, patreon.com/sapnin, and yeah, those different tiers and exclusive and goodies.
We weren't going to go on about this.
For supporting the podcast. Now, Sean, you can talk.
Well, that's it. Let's just get on with the episode.
Well, should we go into our fantastic guests this week in Mode Step?
Let's do that now. Okay. Sapnin! It's my dubstep noise. Oh, dubstep producers, listen to this. Sample our noise, use it, tell me about it. Thank you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Sapnin! Oh, nice! Hey,
all went at the same time.
Oh, fantastic, boys. Fantastic. As you've all read, welcome to episode 24, Morg. Is it 24?
Yes, correct.
Good. Episode 24 of Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and my good friend Morgan Richards. As you've obviously already read, our guests this week are the fantastic Josh and Pat from Mode Step.
Sapnin.
Love it. I love it when people just take it on. And
it's the honorary Welsh among us.
You were definitely honorary Welsh, Pat.
Once upon a time.
Yeah, so sampling then. What's news?
Oh man.
I just landed in the country.
Yeah. I've been here for like 2 days. Both moved to America.
Yeah, that's true.
We abandoned this this shithole.
I prefer the term pee-pee soaked heck hole.
Yeah.
Yeah, how's the States going for you? Are you enjoying it over there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just don't get ill. Don't avoid.
It's not even a joke. That's the thing. It's not even a joke. Like, my missus cut a finger the other day. She was, like, cutting some bread or something. And honestly, I didn't want to look at it. Not because of, like, the scare. Like, I was scared about blood or anything. But if you get a stitch, it costs you 20 grand.
Yeah.
Like, legit 20 grand. Like, that's why everyone's home.
The ambulance can cost 2,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. We did a tour with From First to Last before. And the bassist was saying, he was like 27 or 28 at the time. He was like, I don't know anybody who's ever phoned an ambulance, because he was American. And he was like, I don't know any, because it would cost 2 grand just to turn up.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, I don't know anyone who's ever.
Uber's cheaper.
Ever.
Yeah.
Just get yourself in.
Yeah.
Easy. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So, yeah, other than that, it's all right. It's pretty much
antibiotics. Like, you say things like, you can't avoid a viral infection because you're out in public and not everyone wears a mask or takes those kind of measures. So, if one day you just, like, I caught strep.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what strep was, but, you know, this was, what, a month ago? And there was, like, bags of fluid at the back of my throat. It was like tonsillitis times 10. It's basically what happens when tonsillitis goes untreated. I actually didn't notice because of all the flying and,
it's crazy.
You know, yeah. And, like, the antibiotics over there, they can be, like, $1,000. So, just, if you're someone that's prone to illness, you know, you got to budget another, like, solid amount of money.
It's crazy, yeah. So, I was looking into actual insurance, which pretty much every American has. They're all paying, like, $600 a month.
Mm-hmm.
For insurance
standard, like 4 to 8 is the kind of standard out of their wage packet.
So if anyone here is like wanting to vote, fucking keep the NHS.
Bun those Tories, man.
It's actually cheaper for me to get on a plane, use the NHS and go back to LA.
Norwegian Air will get you there for like
$300.
Yeah, £300-400
No, $300.
Oh, dollars?
$320 is the cheapest flight they do.
Oh, I didn't even know. So maybe like £220. Yeah. So that'll be a quarter of the price of your course of antibiotics.
That's mad to think that you can actually get on a plane, come back and get treatment much, much cheaper than just phoning an ambulance.
Oh, yeah.
That's what happens when the government doesn't regulate any of the prices on pharmaceuticals.
But apart from health things, everything else is good, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, everything's great.
As music goes, like, we moved over there because bass music in this country is kind of, how do we say, fallen on its fucking arse. That's one way to describe it.
I did see someone on the way down here with a Slushy t-shirt.
A Slushy t-shirt?
I couldn't believe it. I was like, wow, in London, that's amazing.
You guys know who Slushy is?
No.
No.
Oh, yeah. No, wait.
He's
EDM
DJ.
Did you do like a Fortnite event not long ago?
Oh, he did. Yeah, like he did.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
There you go.
So, yeah, I saw a Slushy tee. Maybe EDM will come back in the UK.
It feels like it is. Like, it's a weird thing.
I really don't know.
Obviously, when bass music first started, it was started here, and it was like drum and bass, then evolved into dubstep, which then like was in underground clubs, really angry, dark clubs. And then it's kind of now, we were leading the way for a little while.
I feel like it was born and bred here.
And now the Americans, ever since Skrillex put it on
crack cocaine and just went stratosphere.
And now it's starting to leak back over here. So all the American culture, like headbanging and stuff, which like would never do. Like showing up to a rave in little pants and wearing like glow sticks and shit. That would just never happen over here. No. But
I say that side of the culture might be slowly being adopted by the UK.
It is.
I see a lot more like scantily clad women at festivals now on the UK and on streams. Not like I'm in the UK, but like wireless is getting hella more like park. Like all these little things that you'll see in Hyde Park and Victoria Park and stuff, they're full of like what I would describe as like the EDC raver kind of, you know, the neon hoops, kind of like everything's fishnets, everything's nipple piercings and whatever. Like,
it's mental, mate. You go to a festival and I'd say what, like 30% of people aren't wearing any clothes
absolutely
at all?
None. They're wearing tape.
Tape, yeah.
Like, yeah, you got like butt tape.
You're not going to find that in H&M.
It'll stretch from like your balloon knot to the front, but then like, and then two X's, and that's that.
And there's guys just walking around with socks.
Oh, yeah,
and we're
true.
Just like, what is going on? Because we used to go into like dark, grotty clubs and people getting really angry and aggressive to this kind of music.
Or just sweaty and just, yeah.
But it's not like that over there.
It isn't at all. And I think what's worth a mention is do you remember like Korn shows? Do you remember like, let's talk about some staple rock acts that had their own set of fans, right? We're talking about the kind of the Mansons, even Biscuit, you know, but like, let's talk about Korn for a second, because that I feel ties in really well with the dubstep thing.
Well, they did invent it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's, I quote Jonathan Davis.
No, we love him.
I love him, man. No, great dude, great band. Like, I owe a lot of my childhood to Korn and their discography.
Well, I think a lot of us wouldn't probably be where we are without nu metal.
Oh, hell no. That Backwards R, dude, that was too iconic.
Genius,
man.
Like,
actually, the maddest moment of my life was first time we ever played Rock Am Ring. Looked to the side. Well, my brother was kind of looking at me, trying to get my attention to the side of the stage, and he's fucking standing there singing along to Sunlight at the side of the stage.
Wow. Yeah,
and
I'm just like, that's full circle shit right there.
Well, that's fucking terrifying. And then afterwards, he comes over. He's like, "Oh, I'm such a big fan of the band." I was like, well, I don't know why. And then he's like, "You've got to come. We're about to play main stage. You want to come and do our warm-ups with us behind the stage?" I was like, oh, mate, what is my life? I'm living a simulation. Okay. Yeah, and then we went and like did all that.
But their demographic of fans being as weird as Korn fans are, I feel like now this American wave that's kind of like interested in our music and like the heavy side of dubstep, I feel like those are the kind of fans.
Yeah,
I feel like the Warped Tour dregs have now gone, you know what, fuck that. I don't want to be in a dusty car park. I'm just going to go late at night with my gang to this thing. I'm going to grab a rail and I'm literally going to break it. And that's the new...
Mosh pits are also a thing now, headbanging.
Very fashionable again.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, you guys are probably the first EDM kind of dubstep band we've had on the podcast, but you both
That's a Saturn first.
But you both have a real insight into the rock world as well. So how was the really similarities and differences being for you?
It's interesting, isn't it? Because we started and... The only reason we really put guitars on it was more of a like, it was more of a visual. It was like, if we didn't have two guitarists on stage, people wouldn't necessarily think we were heavy.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the reason we had guitarists.
It was a stigma, yeah.
Yeah, it was like, if you want to be on stage with heavy bands, you need guitars. But it didn't add to any of the heaviness.
And let's also maybe, without naming names, talk about bands that perhaps had a similar lineup but played other instruments that weren't guitars that maybe...
What, Tech One?
No.
Who? What are you
talking about?
Who's that?
Oh, come on, dude. All right, I'll give you a clue. And it's a brand, New Rock.
What are you... I don't know what you're saying.
All right, the second clue?
Yeah, go on.
All right, so New Rock Boots. New Rock Boots is your first clue.
Right.
Your second clue is Keytar.
Keytar? Oh, what, Pendulum?
I can't. Do you know what? I'm sorry, Rob, I love you.
Oh, yeah, no, you can't play a keytar.
You can't, though. No, not in the new millennium.
Yeah,
no,
hell
no.
No. But I'll be honest with you, sonically, keytar can be anything you want it to be.
Absolutely.
And probably would sound better.
But we were saying the visual thing is like going for a heavy sound sonically, for people to look at your act and see maybe like three people or one person, people wouldn't believe that shit.
Yeah. Could we have played Reading without guitarists on stage? Probably not.
Probably not.
Probably
could we have reimagined the live act to have looked visually just as heavy? Probably.
Maybe. But I think, so putting guitars in it was more of a like... I wouldn't say strategy. It wasn't something we like thought of, let's do that. But it was
were low-key grungers the whole time.
Yeah, we love that kind of music. So we wanted to create the heaviness of that kind of music. But like the guitars were such an afterthought in the whole production side of things. Like, we basically make the whole song and then just like throw some guitars.
Just to have them.
Just to have them. Yeah. I don't even know what the question was.
Well, Rob? Was it Rob from Pendulum?
Yeah.
Yes, Rob.
Swire.
Yeah, the weirdest meeting I've ever had in my life. Cause
that sounds like every meeting with Rob.
Was it a random meet or for music?
No, it was a random... Well, I was friends with Gareth.
Mm-hmm.
So we were in Australia and me and Gareth were going out and we got in a lift with Rob. And he was like, "Oh, this is Sean from The Blackout." And he literally turned to me and was like, "I don't know who you are."
Yeah, that sounds like
I've never heard of you. And I was like, Oh, okay. Even though I know our management had been in touch with them about possibly them doing a remix for us. And he was like, I've never heard of you. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, Rob's a strange guy. He's
yeah, but he meant that honestly, though.
Yeah,
but,
probably.
But that's without that. That's probably without knowing that he's talking to a Welsh person with no fucks given.
Yeah.
Zero. Like, Welsh people know where they come from.
Yeah, it was the weirdest elevator journey I had. But yeah, we got over it. And yeah, it was a good night after that. But yeah, so yeah, you're playing tonight.
Oh, yeah, we are.
Yeah, I've totally forgotten.
Oh, that was...
such a stressful journey here. I haven't thought about the show.
Definitely could have made that more exciting then, boys.
Okay, so, like, the reason I'm really excited is we've been trying to put dubstep nights on in the UK. We were running our own, like... live streams in the UK, and the tickets were free, and we were really trying to push dubstep back into London because there's nothing here, there's no nights whatsoever. There's one, and it's like very irregular, like once every 6 months. So we thought, all right, let's try and put on a regular night. It's gonna be live streamed, so we have all the audience all online. Like, we knew we'd get big numbers on the internet. What, like 120 people would turn up, something like that?
Somewhere between like 100 and 200 people. But this
and it was free. It's free. Yeah, you didn't have free. To pay.
It was like a random ass weeknight, and it went late.
But you know? It's also a random ass weeknight tonight.
It is. Yeah,
so like the fact that this sold out in like 48 hours or something.
I think 24.
Yeah, so it's a really good sign for things to come, not only for the band, but just for like bass music coming back to.
And I know it's a small ass venue, but there was like four releases of tickets, and. Like, I thought the website glitched because it went up, I think, I don't know where the hour was, but like 5 or 10 minutes past the hour, the first thing had sold out. And I was like, what?
Yeah,
like, are you serious? Like, no way. I mean, it might have only been 50 tickets, but I was like, there's not 50 people that would snap up a ticket that quick in London. No fucking way. Not anymore. Not when we were doing free nights.
So it's exciting for us to like start our touring cycle, kind of like start building again, basically, back in the UK. Because we've been touring consistently for 10 years, but the UK kind of had to become an afterthought just because, well, we don't want to play empty shows, basically.
You can't sell yourself short. I think we would in certain territories just because of the 50 or 60 fans that wanted to see us. But if you do that in the territory you're from, I'm pretty sure that has a knock-on effect, can domino in a bad way, you know.
And saying that, you were saying before that across those 10 years, you're seeing yourselves now travel country to country night after night. Mm-hmm. Is it just weird to see how far that's come over a decade, and that you can wake up one morning, go and do a set somewhere, and then literally have to get on the plane and do another country?
That's what I'm about to do now for the next 4 or 5 days. And it's just constant on the move. It's a weird one, because when we were like a band set up and there was four of us, we'd do that, but not as often, right? It was more
in pockets, you know?
We'd do it like a band would do it, jump on a bus and then
stay out
like,
for
cool.
3 weeks and then go home for a couple of weeks and then go out and do it again for a week and then come back.
But now, because we're doing like combination of the DJ stuff, probably DJ stuff a lot more because we're going to be doing the live stuff later in the year more, but it's kind of jump on a plane, oh, what time's your set? Oh, it's 3 a.m, what time's your flight? 10 a.m. Like, and then just again and again and again and again.
Yeah, you do start just kipping on planes.
Yeah, you don't really get that as a band. It's like you only get that as a DJ, but
there's too many as a band and crew and all the equipment. It's too hard.
But DJs don't get to do the tour bus thing, so it's funny when we go and speak to all of our DJ mates in America,
and they're all massive, you know. Huge. They got like, they're sat on big ass bank accounts, a few nice cars in the drive, but they're just like, I just want to do a bus tour, man. Yeah. But they don't have the things necessary for, like, they got a USB, they've got a tour manager babysitter, they've got preloaded production and LED walls. They don't need a bus and trailer and crew and catering stuff, you know. They don't need to hemorrhage $60,000 every time they play a show. They just literally fly in, fly out, and they're like, yeah, I might take my girlfriend and make all of the money.
Stay for a couple of days if it's a nice place.
Yeah, and go shopping. You'll find that they have a far better life.
Yeah, well, saying that and being able to have the kind of band experience and try get into the rock world early on as well, do you think you've been appreciated to a lot more of those kind of things, and it's opened doors for you in other aspects?
Yeah, it's kind of weird, isn't it? We're seen as like neither of the other. Like, the band world sees us as a band, and the electric guys see us.
I don't know. This is one question that I will never be
it's
able to answer.
It's confusing, isn't it?
Because a lot of our friends will say, "Oh, you guys will," but like, you know, that's an age old thing of like, do we suck, dude? Or it's like, is everyone just being nice? You know, because your friends are never going to tell you that they don't want to play with you because you're heavier or your sound is better. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But as a band, this act has only been on, what, 2 support tours?
Yeah, and it's always been a problem. Anytime I supported anyone.
But you'll always hear that, oh, you guys killed it.
Yeah, no.
So why can't we get a support tour? Yeah.
Well, because no one wants to play before us, so like, or after us for that matter. Like, we're... It's not like a band where you've got a mic up all of your instruments. Everything's DI'd in. Everything is, like, compressed in a way inside a computer that means that effectively the audio that's coming out is, like, mastered loud audio.
It's
so, like, we're
very
way louder,
to compete
way
with.
Heavier, way... Yeah, just like it's a wall of sound that, yeah. that a band can't really get.
And I think a lot of headline acts don't want to start seeing their crowd dip off to your support act's merch stand because they're killing it. It's just like, support the show, don't steal the... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, not like it's like, oh yeah.
It's what we do though, isn't it? We're not going to go out there and do an acoustic set.
Exactly, no. And that's why Modestep Live is not... It's not really the most like go-to thing like the DJ thing is right now. But when the live set's in full motion, I feel like... It doesn't really matter. Like, we've shown up and we've walked on stage. Our intro music started with about 40 kids. By the end of that intro music, there's about 3,000-4,000. Mm-hmm. And it'll keep growing until... You know what I mean? And you're just like, yep, this is like, it's a shutdown
brand.
It's designed,
isn't it? It's designed.
It's a brand. It's I feel like, yeah, it's become a bit of a brand now for a lot of festivals. So I just got to keep it bigger and better every time we hit it again, you know?
Nice. What's the plans for... moving forward now for the next couple of months?
Well, we joined like this label called Disciple, nice. who basically have some of the biggest DJs and producers in America, and they're fucking awesome. We've been parts of like little cliques before, like, you know, part of the... I won't even mention the name, like part of a management company over here that had every rock band, so part of a little family there, and then joined another electronic label that also kind of like have its own acts. But this label that we're with now is so cool, isn't it? Like, we go on holiday with everyone, they all live in the same area. That's the reason we moved to America, is to be near these guys.
Yeah, it's like the fucking Brady Bunch. It's way
all the
too...
girlfriends hang out together.
Yeah. Had stories and seen you all together, and I'm gonna laugh.
It's a little bit mad.
It's really cool. So they're kind of setting us up to really push the live thing to the electronic audience, which hasn't been done since we kind of started this thing. Really, the live thing's been like, okay, go do the rock festivals, go do like all of the support acts with rock bands and all that shit, and it's never really been pushed to like the dance world. And
it's true. I think that because Disciple, they're a bunch of kids from like Bristol, and like Rob, who is Dodge and Fusky and Just Say Yes, he lived in Wales growing up, so like
in
Llanelli. Sorry, my pronunciation.
Yeah. No, it was good. It was good.
Llanelli. Right, well, fuck it.
Llanelli.
Oh, shit, I've been caught by the head glue. You know. But no, for real, he grew up on like a mixture of shit. So did our manager, Rossi, and his DJ name is Myro. But like, he grew up like... listening to you guys, listening to like...
Poor bastard.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And, well, I feel like every one of our mates... was either
some sort of punker, hardcore kid,
played
or a metaler,
drums or played guitar.
Everyone's a drummer.
Yeah,
literally everyone.
Every
and their
producer,
fucking mums is banging skins around here.
Yeah,
like it's mad. Like Rossi, Dan, Dieter. Right, so my housemates are both drummers, and I'm obviously a drummer. So it's like I get to like never piss people off when I play.
Yeah,
pretty much every major DJ that I know has like been behind the kit at some point.
Yeah,
seems like drumming,
Funkcase, Borgor, you,
Flux.
Like Flux. Yeah, just
whole bunch, bunch.
Too many to mention. Like, I'm sure Skrillex probably plays some drums as well.
Oh, he plays an instrument. That's fucking sure. Yeah,
damn right.
But yeah, so like moving forward for us, it's just about getting this live show over to America. At the moment, we're DJing a lot over there just to kind of like establish our name again over there. Because when we first started was 10 years ago, we did a 52-date sold-out tour in the States. But now all those people are too old to go to those raves anymore. So the kids
working,
now,
yeah.
Like when we first released our tunes, the kids who are coming to our shows now would have been like 11, 12. So like they come up to us and they're like, oh my God, I used to listen to you when I was 10. I'm like, yeah, you're making me feel old. You can't, right?
Yeah, the term now that I hear a lot.
OG.
OGs. And I say like...
OGs.
Sorry. I'm born in 1990. Like...
Yeah. You're still
don't worry
kinda
about
young,
that. Like OGs. Yeah, but like these kids are super young. Like yeah. they're 2001 born. You're like,
surely nobody was born. Nobody was born after 1998.
No, but yeah, like,
that was the limit. That was a cutoff.
But then when you have to do a sum to figure out if they're like able to be at the venue yeah. or not, and you're like, fuck, I'm old. Like,
yeah,
yeah. We did, we did one of these podcasts with the band As It Is, and they were like, oh yeah, yeah, you did Warped Tour, didn't you, 10 years ago? And one of them was like, I was like 12, and I was like, oh yeah, see, my god, I feel sick.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like an old man who's dying. Cheers.
That's us just trying to like now make ourselves known to all these little young ones who they're grown up with this whole other generation of basically kind of Skrillex influenced music, I guess.
Yeah, it's like bands like Attila and yep. I don't know, like all these kind of unreadable kind of Warped Tour-y kind of Hot Topic t-shirt
yeah.
bands.
Well, with their name
I'm
looks like a spider's
Attila
web.
Exactly.
I don't mind.
Forest.
Yeah.
It looks like an egg against
like,
the wall.
Stuff that like you just wouldn't want to listen to ever. I feel like those kind of kids grew out of that kind of jogging on the spot hardcore. And now that they're into the DJ thing because it is just as heavy.
Yeah.
It's more heavy. It's like, you know, they're going to go to a venue like, you know, the Aragon Ballroom, and they're going to get blasted with like 200,000 watts of bass. When you go into Warped Tour, you're going to get feedback.
Yeah.
You're going to get, you know, these like whiny singers chatting shit. And like DJs don't really mince words. They yeah. just sort of like go boop and just have it.
Yeah.
Then you've got like visual. You were like locked in from that moment.
Well,
in.
We went to go and see this guy called Excision, who was also like OG, started back yep. in the day. It was Datic and Excision. And he's like taking this a whole nother level. It's unbelievable. We went to his headline show 2 weeks ago, it was 20,000 people.
Ooh.
And he did that every stop of the tour mm-hmm. for 60 days.
And if there was like an 8,000 venue, then he'd double or triple head it. Yeah, dude, like...
Wow.
You're talking about these guys that can do an entire... Like, what a band would achieve with 60 people, these guys are doing with like maybe like... You know, let's be real, his festivals have way more production, but to, like the touring
show. Oh, still,
shows,
though, the touring probably group is only about like 12,
yeah,
like, 15.
Yeah, I'd say between 10 and 15 people, probably. Yeah. Like close knit team, and it's like you're able to put that on with just your little bad boy cabinet of individuals. No, there's no fat, basically. Do you know what I mean? These guys yeah. are like businessmen, musicians, the whole kind of like all encompassing mogul that you need to be to survive in.
But on the flip side, there's also like a real underground movement going on with the whole rhythm thing.
Yeah.
Like bringing back the original dubstep sound, but with American twist.
Very much so.
And that is the more like grunger.
And that's also getting big now. I just think the whole thing's like
yeah.
growing exponentially now. Uh-huh. The States can't get enough of bass music.
Mm. And speaking of going forward, of course, I know you guys have had a lot of problems in the past trying to get new music out, but you've this year released a new EP
mm-hmm.
and Echoes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's just been great to have a proper release out now.
Oh, so good. So this year I've released more music than I have in the last 5 years, I think.
Wow.
4 or 5 years.
Yep.
Yeah. 14 tunes,
I
something
think,
like
yeah,
that.
There's definitely, I think there's 14 ready, or there's another.
No,
few
I've already
ready
released
to come out.
About 10 or 12
yeah,
tunes this
yeah,
year already,
like that, yeah.
which is like so nice, so cool. The fact that we're with the Disciple gang as well, it's like
they readily put tunes out, like.
They're all so good and they're all so quick. Like, you can the first tune that we did with Valentin, we went to his house, obviously, like got a swimming pool, went and sat
no,
by
nothing.
The pool with his laptop, no speakers, nothing. By the end of the day, had a
I mean,
tune.
Not even by
but
the
like,
end of the day.
No, like 5 hours of work,
yeah,
something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, it's 4 or 5
one
hours.
Of my questions was is the quickest you've had a turnaround of a writing
well,
a
you
song.
Made a song in...
On Echoes, Fallout,
yeah.
I did it in 24 hours, yeah. yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I work really well under pressure. Like, a lot of these producers, they constantly make music, but, like, I don't like throwing stuff away. So when I go to write a record, I give myself like a week window.
And a purpose.
Yeah, and I'm like, right, this is what I'm going to write. This is how many tracks it's going to be. And I pretty much sit at a computer and don't sleep.
But you always write this. You always write to a concept.
Yeah.
From what I see.
Yeah, well, I've started doing that more. Actually, no, I guess I've always done that.
Yeah, I think you always have. There's always been some sort of like, I know it sounds like that, but this is what it means.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, no way. Like, which is, I don't know. That's just like, I guess if you're the type of person to just kind of say anything and be like, yeah, I'll put that out, then you can just,
which a lot,
you know,
of dubstep is, it's meme culture.
Exactly. So you can
find
keep
a funny meme, like take the audio from it, put it before a drop, and then
bootleg it, right? And then that's like keeping up with SoundCloud crisis and everyone releasing every 5 minutes. But like, if you actually take your time and work on music and quality of it,
there's more longevity.
Yeah, and like having six tunes ready to come out on an EP 1 month doesn't necessarily mean that in 2 months that music's going to be any more or less relevant. Doesn't actually mean that you're not going to want to change it. Mm. So why rush it out and get it out to a point where you go, fuck, I should have.
That being said, got the next one ready. So
no, I know, but it's, I know when the deadline is. So it's not for a while, and I know that you'll revisit those project files and you'll add and remove shit as you see fit. But it's like no one needs to rush music. Because if you're putting shit music out, or music that's not your best, then you're hurting your brand. Like, you might as well just do it anonymously.
But I feel like this is definitely the best music we've done, like, in a really long time. It's
you're on fire, man.
Well.
Like going to America for you and being around,
like, the talent, the young talent is just...
I wondered how to say that. Young talent. Because they're, like, on the right side of 25 still.
Yeah.
And they are... like so much more talented than, like, remember being like in a band room and writing with the boys and be like, oh fuck, like a pre-chorus go on for a bit too long, and like
that
these guys just don't
be,
they don't think about these things. They just, they're like, they know it. It's so regimented, it's so stuck in their head, like the cheats in GTA.
they play it like computer games,
you know.
Games.
It's actually become like that now. Games.
So when we were with Panda Eyes and he lived with us for a while, he was telling me how he gets, like, he can play a computer game and he gets like endorphins from playing it. He gets the same thing from producing music. So like they actually competitively make music. That's kind of a way.
And
to,
you know,
it,
what,
right?
I blame for all of that movement,
go on,
Guitar Hero,
probably, yeah, stuff like that, guitar hero, but also like dance EJ, rave EJ, like the game
of it,
format
though,
of like
it's, it made kids of, not our generation but maybe the one below, see that music or production is virtually gaming.
Yeah.
Because if you go into it without thinking, I need to make money from this, and you go in thinking, I'll just beat the end of level boss.
Yeah.
You might end up just being the next 15-year-old bad boy bass producer, because there's a few of them in the scene already.
It's also funny because it's like the amount of knowledge that probably like the best mix engineer and mastering engineer you would be able to find who's like in his 50s, he would be completely... he wouldn't have any idea what these kids are doing now.
No
they
clue.
Are so far ahead sonically and scientifically.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say that the technology is totally different to what the old boys were using as well, because they wouldn't know what Ableton is. Like, everyone slightly old, no, just I remember,
but for example, you did your sample pack. So Pat was doing like a drum sample pack, so he's doing like recording drums for electronic music, and he's doing it with one of the biggest artists on Disciple, Virtual Riot, and this kid has never mic'd up a kit before. He's never recorded a kit.
Oh, he did it in college, but like I think more as like preliminary recording, not so much like
never properly done it. This is the first time he's ever done it, and he got
the best drum sound I've ever heard.
But how quick was that?
No. I mean,
15
like,
minutes.
I worked with producers many different, like, and Josh, and we spent out days, like a day or so.
Worked with some of the best guys, like
Tom Delgetty, Colin Richardson, Carl Bound. Like you'd always make that tunnel for your kick drum, you know, that would elongate like 18 feet to the
and instead of doing any of that, he just takes the audio signal and just goes, well, I know exactly what plugins to use on this, I know exactly how to manipulate the sound, and he makes it sound like
if you are bored at any point and like, at home, like, and you want to maybe look into Virtual Riot, he's so entertaining, man. Like just what he can do in the box is like, he literally just made that like the other day they did
did you make a synth sound out of a scrape off a cymbal or something like that?
Yes, right. Yeah, he actually made a tune straight after that, which, like, I mean, I say made a tune, he made a skeleton, and then, like, I went out for a smoke with him. We were walked about and recorded some more, like, outdoor foley. He came in, and, like, 10 minutes after I'd, like, packed up, he was, like, playing out, like, 2 minutes of, and I mean, a slapper.
Yeah, no, I've seen him, I mean, in a dressing room before he's about to go on stage. He's got, like, 50 minutes left. And he's like, well, just make a song, and he'll go out and play it.
Yeah, he'll play it without hearing it.
Without even hearing it. I've seen him make a song without hearing any of it.
So he'll know from the wavetable what it looks and sounds like. And he'll know how, like, he'll be doing the actions like he's been playing it out for 4 years.
Yep.
That's incredible. Really,
it's
But he's also, he's an anomaly, because he's someone who was jazz trained as a kid.
Yeah.
He was like taught in a church how to play organ and how to like, because organs are kind of like old synthesizers. They've got like all the different harmonics. So he came from like this weird trained background and then got obsessed with being a scientist. Like his big EP was called German Engineering. He's a German guy. And it just sums up his music. It's just like perfect in every way.
Precise, yeah.
So precise, yeah. But this is the level of like, of talent you're getting over in
it's
the
great, man. Like more and more teenagers keep coming through and raising the bar, and then making it harder for dudes like Josh to go.
Oh, such a pain.
Oh, next EP
have
then.
To keep up. Have to know. Keep up. Like, yeah. Before we released Echoes, I had to spend like a week with these guys, looking over their shoulder, just like, oh shit, okay, that's what you're doing. Oh right, okay, that's what you're doing. And then I have to apply it to like my music. You know,
everyone's. I mean, people do that to you. Everyone's got their own flavors in production or songwriting, for that matter, or like lyrics.
It's like playing guitar; you'll never play it the same as
exactly
else,
that, man. There's a lot of people that play the same beat or the same riff, but you know, it won't sound the same. And that's just fact.
But with all that, do you feel, not that you have to rush music out, but especially like for rock bands, they'll go on a cycle where they get an album out and they've got 18 months and then they have 6 months off or wherever until the next one comes out.
Yeah.
Do you feel in this scene at this time, you kind of, now Echoes is out, you've got to look at the next thing to put out as soon as you can, in a way where you can still give Echoes enough kind of attention?
Yeah, but like I feel like even rock music's got to that point now. I don't think it's anything to do with genres. I think it's to do with the attention span of people.
Yeah, no one's got cycles anymore.
No, I feel like the cycle thing's kind
of
dying.
Big bands are doing less than 1 year per album.
Yeah. Well, this is, we've had this discussion with a couple of people who've, well, like I said, you're the first EDM people, and yeah, we're all like thinking about drip feeding just singles until you've got like 12 at the end of the year, and then you've got your album.
Bieber did it a few years ago. Yeah. It didn't kind of hurt, and a lot of people have done it since.
Yeah. But the album format, I hate to say it, it's kind of dying. It's a sad thing.
It just seems to be about bringing out songs for playlists.
Playlists is everything now.
It's mad, isn't it?
And now people aren't buying records, so that's another whole weird thing. It's like, this is going to sound like a weird thing, but there's a specific label that we will release on because we know that they're really good on Spotify. So I'll make music that is slightly geared towards their demographic and the kind of playlists that they have direct access to. And we use them just to like get Spotify plays up. And that's not a thing that you should really have to do as a musician, like really,
I mean,
at all. Well, I'm not saying that.
No, but it is a thing you have to do. No, it is a thing that you kind of have to do.
If it is fitted to that particular label and it does work.
But you would have never done that back in the day.
No.
Back in the day, it wouldn't have been like
a... That is the new thinking. But nor would people separate their band into 9 different companies. And it's harder for bands these days. You know, whether it's tax or whether it's streaming numbers or the fact that, you know, with Brexit, small bands just can't leave the country soon. Like, there's so many hurdles if you want to get your music to travel.
Yeah, and then you've also got cunts like us showing up with a fucking USB stick, stealing the limelight, and doing it for absolute fractions of the cost and fraction of the hassle as well.
Yeah, but
what's your rider? CDJs.
We've
all right,
paid
them
dues, man. Like, this is the thing. Like, if we were 17 right now, he didn't have a leg to stand on, I'd feel like, you know, this would be a different conversation.
Well, that's why a lot of them young ones are now starting doing live shows.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because they realize that, you know,
it's a bit boring just going up there and DJing.
And longevity is a thing. Because unless you're going to be the next Tiesto, you might just get forgotten about. You know, like, unless you're going to be a household DJ name. How many are there? How many can you name? More than 10? Because I can't. And I'm in that scene, like, you know, the headliners, the Hardwell, you know, Axwell and Grosso, like all these guys, like, there's not that many.
No, they're all
there's
businesses.
There's not
though,
that many,
they?
Though, you know, and what are the chances that you're going to be one of them one day? It's far more likely that you can just keep sustaining with music that's for a target audience. You know, I always say this thing, like, do you want to be a big fish in a small pond? Or a small pond in a big fit. The other way around. Ah, Christ.
Well, what you were saying was incorrect.
Well, you guys all know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like being the first one is probably more beneficial for us at this stage in the game anyway.
Well, we've paid our dues, and it's like our name is... It's already attached to a certain thing, so like,
yeah. And at this point, it's still great that there's half of the world that think that, you know, we're still expected to play like Download and these bills like that, you know, like.
And I feel like we kind of should.
We might.
Yeah.
We
want to build
might.
Towards that.
There,
again.
There might be an album yeah. that
I
sounds like.
I still think you could. Yeah. Yeah. Like you said earlier, with the Americans, kind of like the new metal kids are kind of getting into it now over there.
Big time.
I think that's just going to follow over here.
Yeah.
I think so.
And also, without again naming names, like so many people, not just kids, but big ass EDM acts that are starting to do a live show just like ours. Yeah. So, you know, yeah. cough, cough. Like, yeah. the fuck off our coattails, man. Are you serious?
But then you look at like Reading's lineup now, and that's not really like a rock festival anymore, yeah. is it?
It's a bit of everything now, isn't yeah. it? It's cross.
Well, yeah, it's just such a crossover of kind of. Couple of old school rock bands and the rock bands left, and then just like the popular mm-hmm. from all different other genres. I mean, yeah,
just trying to sell tickets. Yeah. They've yeah. got to get the hype acts.
But there aren't enough bands either. There are just not enough bands emerging. And I don't know why it is.
I think Reading and Leeds Festival in the longevity might become more that way now.
Yeah,
and then you'll have
it definitely has to. It definitely has to.
Yeah, I think you always have the occasional like rock band mm-hmm. there. But yeah, I think it's definitely going to go that way. I've seen that from going there for the last couple of years.
If the heaviest rock band that you have at your festivals in 1975, then you've got a problem. But that's happening now.
Yeah, it's know. Mad, isn't it? It's just not... It seems like metal seems to be... We'll just stick to download, and Reading's just trying to sell tickets by pop acts.
But you remember Sonisphere and Heavy and... See, you remember these other ones? Like, Heavy Fest was another one. Like, I think they just stopped it one year.
No, you have to go to, like, weird niche things, like Arctangent, if you want to hear, like, that kind of music.
Or you got to go over to Brutal Assault in Czech Republic or
something. Yeah, Germany,
like
you got to fucking... Even that's Rock and Ring, though. Even Rock and Ring is starting to put pop acts on. I was like,
they kind of always have in it, but now to more of a degree, because when Germany has less metalheads, you know, metal's getting smaller.
Yeah, it's true. Literally,
like I can't believe until Wacken Open Air, 2025 is located inside one marquee, in a Tesco's car park.
I wonder how many like old American bands are like, oh my god, Germany's slowing down with metal. We've literally not got to live in anymore because the amount of obscure metal bands. That do and ska bands that do well in Germany is fucking criminal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just don't know.
Like Zebrahead and shit.
Yeah, loads of them.
Massive, mate.
If you're in any old ska
great
band.
Great band, though.
I reckon Bowling for Soup are probably huge over there.
They are.
Basically, every band that was on Kerrang when you came home from school is still big in Germany. Like, still mad big in Germany.
It's a mad country, Germany.
I love it.
Oh, yeah.
They know how to put on a show, the crowds.
Yeah, well, speaking of the metal world, of course, Pat, you know that really, really well from your previous times in Rise to Remain mm-hmm. and Funeral for a Friend.
Yeah.
Can you just talk to us a little bit about your time there and obviously the journey from Funeral to Motsep?
Yeah, so the it was kind of somewhat streamlined. The management was the same. I met the boys.
Tricked into it though, weren't you?
It was a little bit. I don't know. The way in which it happened was a bit unclear, and like the whole timeline of everything was confusing. But like, I really got on well with Claire, who managed you and yourself and Josh, and his brother and the other members of Modestep at the time. And she hit me up and was kind of vague. She kind of just wanted to dip in and see what, like, my vibe was with Funeral. And I was like, well, that's very fucking weird. Like, but, I mean, I'm in a band and doing shows and I'm touring pretty much constantly. Yep. And that was that. And she was like, well, how would you feel about maybe, you know, like, helping out on the record for these guys? So I was like, oh, Session, yeah, jokes. I mean, I'd love
What was your first show?
O2 Arena with Prodigy. But no one really said... No one warned like, oh, it's Deep End coming up. Like, people just sort of said, well, like, hang out with the boys. And then it was quite close to the time. I remember, like, we went for a pretty much a slapdash rehearsal or two.
Barely rehearsed for that show, yeah.
Yeah. We did, like, two runs through. But, like, full band, I think we had 1 hour where we were all there in the room. And then it was like, before I knew it, dude, I was packing my drums down and like, I was out of that studio and I was like, I don't feel any more or less confident for this biggest hometown show ever than I did. And I was like, I may as well not have rehearsed. I remember going to the show where I just met his brother, his kid brother was there. And I was like, really looking forward to meeting Sam. He was the only one of the trilogy I hadn't met yet. And he gave me a joint that I wasn't ready. Like I must have been so, you know, when you're just doing so much for a project, like, you've been so, like, my head was in this project. I was so ready for, you know, 150 songs in this live set in 60 minutes or 40 minutes.
Oh, that's another problem. We're not talking like, oh, here's the set list, it's seven tunes. No,
it's,
there was,
it's hundred, it can was, be hundreds.
I think in that set it was a 45 minute set, so you would have had to learn at least 45 songs. Yeah.
Jesus, I mean Christ. it felt like each of them were edits, and mm-hmm. some of them were songs I'd never heard before,
and they're not normal structures of songs, because we just chop and move things around like a build up into
very,
another
very,
thing.
That very weird as well.
Yeah, we tried to cram as much as we could in because we were supporting the Prodigy. And, it's like, yeah. Let's
and hype it for New Year's, because it was...
Oh, it's New Year's show, yeah.
It was right. Just before 2014 dropped.
Yep, and then we did some small shows after that, didn't we? We went to Japan, did
oh,
Summer
yeah,
Sonic.
True. No, we did Summer Sonic right after. Electrox,
yeah.
Which was in the same vein. But yeah, no, it was all cool. And then Funeral, the Hours tour, the anniversary for Hours tour was going on at the same time. I was like, I'd literally leave one airport. I think I remember at one point I went from Gatwick with Funeral to like Terminal 3 Heathrow with the boys, and we went off to Finland, or... I think I met Kyle and we went to Hungary or something, and mm-hmm. and that was one of my last like runs with Funeral. But there was a crossover, there was a few good few months, and it was both acts. And like, it's not like I had a girlfriend or a life or anything. I was just like, wow, I'll just, you know, I kind of liked it, to be honest. It was keeping me on my toes. But I remember going full time because the boys were getting some real tour plans coming up, and I was like, oh, I can't do like any of that. So
yeah,
I just can't, like, these boys are going full throttle with London Road Tour, so I'm on that. And Josh had already asked me to be in the band. Him and his brother like had a meeting at some point in Japan, and at the end of that,
I think we were all just fucked, to be honest with you. I think
everyone was drinking red wine out of mugs.
6 a.m. in yeah, a Japanese
at the Intercontinental, like, you know what I mean, where they're just, they're so like, what are you lot doing, like,
yeah, one of us was crawling on the floor, which you don't do in Japan
with a skateboard, yeah, on a skateboard, like, yeah,
yeah, yeah, arseholes. Worst
yeah.
Piece of shit.
Yeah, Brits abroad, man, it's terrible. But like, you slowly learn that Japan's not one of those places that you can do that.
Did you break it to the Funeral boys that you were gonna go, or was
it,
there
it was like a
clear
because I love those boys so much. Yep. I didn't ever wanna get to a point where I was had to like leave, you know. I in an ideal world I would have still done their last shows, I would have, yep. You know what I mean, but it's just not how it works, you know. I wanted them to have no worries about a drummer or anyone making those fulfillments, or if they got a last minute show and I was somewhere, they wouldn't have to not take it or whatever like that. But I remember saying to them, like, you know, I can do both, you know, I can stretch out your rah, 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 and like, and they were like, oh no, we knew you were going to do this. And I was like, what do you mean? They were like, oh, the second you said you were going to go and do the album, we all had a talk and we had a feeling that, like, you know, those boys are like, it's more, you know, it's up your strata, it's like, it's what you need to do. So they were like really supportive from the get-go, probably because they thought I was a twat. but no, they were really like happy for me. It seemed, anyway. I'm still really like tight with all those guys. Still speak. Still cool. Like, yeah.
I think as far as like a band, I'm probably speaking out of place here, but like as far as a band goes, like we're probably more similar age and into the same things more so than maybe.
Absolutely. But I always felt like, and it's going to go back to the Welsh thing, and I'm just such a massive fan of Welsh people and the camaraderie that they have, because you grow up in a place playing music with your buddies. Or your buddies, my bad. and you're either drinking cider and doing drugs, or you're getting better at tunes and like performing them, and like, or skating or something like that, you know. Yeah. What I mean, so it's like you go vocational drugs in the valleys, and all those guys were so like about it and about that, like they were like Chris on guitar, man, do you know what I mean? When you just watch that cunt play, you're just like,
oh, I spent many hours just watching his fingers.
Yeah,
like,
me too.
That's possible. You look like a
me too
fingers,
dude. I know, man, he literally had tentacles. I used to say it to him all the time,
different notes.
Yeah, he had like, small hands as well.
Yeah, and you'd just be like, oh well, all of a sudden he's on the very bottom string on the air.
And he never played, like, he never bent out of tune or like off the fretboard, and never made his guitar sound bad. Yeah. He was like allergic to making that thing sound bad. like,
couldn't do it.
I fucking remember you wrote "Cheer up, Chris" in Slam Dunk on the whiteboard. We were sharing a dressing room with Blackout, and
well, that started before you joined, right? We did a tour, and
yeah, in Germany, in mainland.
Yeah,
I remember that. I remember hearing about that.
And we were all like, us and Funeral for a Friend were sharing a bus, and Chris had been quite miserable for a few days, right?
No, not Chris.
No way. Yeah, this story gets better. So Bob comes downstairs. We're all in the morning now, just sitting here in the lounge, and all of a sudden, Bob comes downstairs and he goes, looks around everyone, and he goes, "Boys, cheer up, Chris." Like, straight away. Chris is furious for the rest of the day, right?
That would make him leave and go to the bus.
Yeah. So that night, that was his birthday, mind, right?
Oh, no.
Oh, it gets better. It gets better. Oh,
Chris.
So we're on our way back to Calais now to come over to Dover. And just before, there's one services before.
You played the France show?
Yeah. No, we didn't play the France show.
Yeah, everyone cancelled France shows.
No, they cancelled that. Yeah. It was meant to be on a boat and it got cancelled. Anyway, so we were going from Calais to Dover, right? Just before we got to Calais, there's one services, which is like 2 hours from Calais, or hour and a half from Calais. We literally stopped at those services. We all went in, all got back in a bus, drove off. We were an hour and a half.
Oil spotted Chris.
We were an hour and a half.
Oh,
right?
I heard this. On his birthday.
We left Chris.
We left him at a services in France, dude. On his birthday.
It took us an hour and a half until we realised he wasn't there.
Oh,
right? Then we all realised he went. He wasn't there, right? So we had to go back, right? So we had to turn the bus around at Calais. Because you couldn't get any further. Like, there was no roundabout. You had to turn around to Calais and come back. Came back for Chris. Everybody on the bus went to bed, right? So they wouldn't have to see Chris and how furious Chris was.
You're like standard. You would never want to see.
Oh, he'd be furious.
Mate, he's like
brilliant.
Kincaid, man. Oh, I tell you what, my liege. I never want to see the day that Gordon turned that bus around and had to go back for him. Because, mate, you'd have seen steam.
We were hiding,
But you know, there's not enough hand sanitizer in all of WH Smith's in England for him to like be all right with being. Yeah, no, that's horrible, man.
Yeah, so that became our thing, and like the cheer up Chris thing. So yeah, we did like Hub Festival, and we put it on. We had like blinds like that, right? So they were open. So we were playing here on Saturday, Funeral Redlining on the Sunday. So we had taken the blinds, and we were like, they're not going to want them open because people can see in. So what we'll do is, we pulled them down, so they're all down, right? So it was like a wall you can't see through. Wrote "Cheer up, Chris" in permanent marker, then put the blinds back up so you don't see it.
Sick.
So we were like, when Chris comes in now,
or the he's tour manager or whatever, and right back with Chris behind him, just goes,
"Cheer up, Chris."
Yeah, because he walked into Hatfield and he was like, "Oh, Joe, I cheer up, Chris." And I was like, "Who the fuck?" I was like, "Chris, who wrote that?" He's like, "Oh, probably fucking Blackout." Like, oh, there we go. Yep, that makes sense. They went after.
It was brilliant.
That was, man.
And Stafford, Stafford was the
he's
TM
the best, man. Big
he was
up.
Brilliant. Chris said to him, "Can you pass me the milk, please?" And Stafford went, "The fuck am I? You slave. You go and get it, you lazy bastard."
Stafford and Chris.
Do it. And then Bob went, "Stafford, can you pass me the milk?" He's like, "Oh yeah, again, no, Bob."
Yeah, Stafford and Chris have that thing, man. He used to love winding him up.
Oh, so funny.
Oh, fucking hell, man. What's Stafford doing now? Is he still doing sound?
I don't know. Last I heard, he was just living in Exeter and he'd stopped touring.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
I don't know if he's still...
I remember he went to... I had a pint with him in 0 degrees in Cardiff, like, maybe 5 years ago. It's the last time I seen him.
He's brilliant.
Good
Stafford.
Egg, though. Proper good egg.
So what can people expect music-wise this year? How many songs are we looking at?
Fucking hell.
200 million.
Yeah, hopefully. I don't know. We've got another EP probably happening.
The deadline soon? In June, so.
Actually, the deadline's the end of this month. I'm not going to be... Definitely not going to make it.
It's 30th of May, wasn't it?
It's the end of this month, literally. But I think that's just like... Preliminary
soft deadline,
isn't
it?
Yeah. I've done like that. I don't know. Yeah, so we've got another EP
by the end
coming.
Of summer. There's probably going to be some offering of some sort.
Offering, like, oh, what, like music
single
of some
or
sort.
Something? Yeah, some new music offer next thing.
Yeah, there'll probably be like a Disciple release, a Monster Cat release.
Yeah, maybe potentially there's another tune that a lot of people are asking for. Like, I'm not even gonna lie, it's probably like, would you say 40% of the messages about tunes is about the Headex collab?
Oh yeah, that one hasn't come out.
I keep seeing viral videos of people rinsing, well, Headex rinsing or us rinsing it, and it's like pages and pages and pages of.
Yeah,
like,
we started a tune last year with this jump up producer.
And it got finished in this room, actually. Quite funny.
Oh yeah, just neither of us have got around to actually finishing it, but that will come out. Yeah, so basically what's coming up next is a whole fucking bunch more touring. We're going to be taking our live show around America towards the end of the year, and then we've got some more live shows around Europe, actually, around like October. We've got 2 months summer around Europe, and we're just solid touring. We just want to get back on the grind, making music as we go. This is the beauty now of, like, laptops have got good enough so we can make music while we're on the road. Like, when we first started this, you'd have to go into a studio and do it, but now this is more powerful than any computer I've ever had. So yeah, just like touring, making music on the road, releasing it, and yeah, hopefully our live show. I think there were some talks about a Brixton Electric show. Ooh, later on in the year. That one's on ice.
That'd be cool.
So yeah, hopefully that. This
can
year
we do that before?
We've done it once before. Yeah, we have. And then, I don't know, we're doing like a bunch of festivals this year. We've got Tomorrowland for the first time. Wow. So excited for that.
Wow.
You've so seen the production.
I've always wanted to go to Tomorrowland.
Yeah.
Bro, if you come down, man, if you can get to Belgium, boy, you got yourself fucking...
I'm here. I'm coming.
Guesty.
I'm coming. Definitely coming.
Definitely have to bring Sean to Tomorrowland.
Tomorrowland, yeah. And what else we got? Puck and Pop.
Yep.
Doing that one.
That's happening. What else?
There's a whole bunch.
Oh, we got Portland Rose Festival next month. Is that next month? Oh, in a month.
Oh, let's not just specifically pull out dates, because there are a lot of dates. But yeah,
touring. You're going to be doing the after party for Slam Dunk Festival as well.
Oh yeah, we'll be in Hatfield. I'm going to be in Ukraine the day before, and then into lovely Hatfield afterwards. Nice. Yeah,
we're going to be at Hatfield as well. So we'll have to have a drink and...
I wish I was going. I'm going back to work on stuff in the studio and get my sample pack all ready. And then we're meeting up in a few weeks to work on the live show.
When can people expect the sample pack thing?
Sample pack is... I'm so excited about it. I'm literally buzzing, because as soon as, like, Josh flew out, like, I did another day in the studio and then went and, like, sorted out all my raws, because I've done, like, a whole bunch of, like...
A lot of shit to sort through. Fucking lots. I think you must have recorded for like...
No, I'm not even talking about the
3 hours of drumming.
Oh, dude, we did so much more on the last day.
Oh, you did more? Fuck.
We did so much more on the last day, and we got some real sick shit. So, but like, right after we finished tracking before, because Val went for Game of Thrones, and like, luckily we were done like 2 hours before six anyway. So he went and watched Game of Thrones, and like, I went and did like a whole bunch of promo with D that's real sick. Like, we found like some real cool spots in downtown that looked like real jizzy. And yeah, man, just trying to make it look sick, trying to comp the best of the audio and the visuals to make it like just slap people. And like, a lot of drummers want to get excited when they see this, man. So
yeah, there's a distinct lack of like good drum samples in the electronic music world, so this is gonna feel...
Yeah, I wanted to make like a drummer producer pack, but that also drummers could appreciate as well, because let's face it, there's a lot of producers that make great drums and can process them and do everything, but like, if there's a pack that actually has just kind of done it for you,
yeah,
I feel like they'd still don't use it and process those. And
yeah, I mean, that's what I do.
So. Yeah, I think he's in good company. A lot of the top producers are stealing everything and like making it so that no one knows. So
hell yeah,
fuck it, man. Cut corners. If you're smart enough to manipulate WAV, like, you do your thing, boo. You fucking deserve it.
That's not cutting corners. I know metal bands that have used other metal bands' drums on their records. Yeah, yeah. Their one shots have been recorded and then they've just swapped out.
But that's not the band. That's the producer.
True.
Or the engineer. That band wouldn't know. That drummer wouldn't track and then know that, like, so-and-so's...
Really? You wouldn't know if someone, like...
Oh, no, I would know, because my sample went on another drummer. But if I went and told that guy's band that, hey, man, you know your kick drum ain't your kick drum. It's actually mine and probably the one from While She Sleeps. Like, people will just be like, no way, like, I wouldn't know that. How the fuck are they going to know? What, are they going to go and A-B it with their kick drum and the thing? No,
but still, that's what was... It's always been done.
It's
but
a
now
producer
it's
trick, isn't it? Layering and thickening shit up and...
Oh yeah,
people need to sound heavy in the mix.
Right then, one last thing before you go. What's the longest you ever spent? Like, we did the shortest. Have you got a track you've never finished that you've...
Yeah, so the first song...
You still work on?
Nah, it definitely came out, but like the first song we ever did, Sunlight, and it took me... I think it was 3.5 months to mix it, because I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. It was like, I had a set of monitors in the studio, set of like car test, obviously, and I was literally just like tweaking things, taking it into the car, listening, because I knew the car system really well. I've made it, like I built the sound system in the car, so I was like, I know every little part of this sound system. But I was literally parked in the car park of the studio, and I was spent like 3 months just tweaking things and then going back and listening it, and I feel like it's still shit, but eventually I just hit this kind of like sweet spot where I was like, all right, I'm happy to let this go. Now I could, if you hand me my laptop, I can have it done by the end of this
podcast. When it dropped, it was sick.
Yeah.
It was really sick at the time.
Ah, see, I didn't feel like that.
Because you made it.
Yeah, exactly. But like, I didn't know what I was doing. So it wasn't like, now if I was to make a heavy drop, I'm like, I know exactly how to approach it from a technical side. That was literally, I think there was over 200 channels of audio. Oof. On the project, and I just didn't know, like, it was just throwing shit at a wall and seeing what would stick.
Yeah, your projects look very clean these days.
Oh yeah.
Have you found that you can just, you know now when they're done, rather than
I could get, like I say, like the fallout. In fact, the whole last EP I did in the best part of a week. Nice. And like the last album took 2.5 years, about that.
Maybe 18 months,
something like that.
No, maybe 2 years from actual writing to finished product. Yeah.
So it's just a different game.
Fuck
now.
Yeah, it was 2 years. Yeah. That's solid, man. That is such a disgrace.
Yeah, and I've done as much in that.
Oh yeah, you've doubled your output. Yeah, easy peas. Yeah.
So yeah, it's a very different thing. But yeah, Sunlight just took me fucking forever. But it paid off. That's what my career is now.
But then maybe that's what more people need to do in general, is just spend more time on your music.
Because I wasn't spending any time on the music. It was just mixing.
In general.
The song was done.
But there's a lot of people that should spend more time on their mixdowns.
Yeah, maybe. Not me anymore. Can't be asked.
He's level 5 respecter of a mixdown.
Right, cheers for this, boys. It's been fantastic. I've really enjoyed it. Where can people find you online?
At Modestep on everything.
That is what it is. Is it on everything?
Everything, yeah.
Wow, that's pretty... Is the YouTube Modestep? Mm-hmm. Sick.
Everything.
Fuck me, Modestep. Man. Yeah, shit, they should have blue ticks on them.
SoundCloud, Instagram.
Shit?
Yeah, we're verifying.
Oh, wow.
Say so.
Pat's learning new information.
Legit. Yeah. I got my own socials, but Josh runs everything Modestep. So if you want to speak to Josh, it's at Modestep. If you want to speak to me, it's at Pat Lundy Modestep. Drums. Oh. Or Pat Modestep on Insta. Yeah.
Nice. Awesome. Yeah, that's been really great insight, guys.
Thanks a lot, man. Oh, it's been so good. I can't believe we did episode 24. Big up. This show is sick, man. Yes. I listened to it a lot with my managers.
Yeah, it was nice of him to get in touch, and he was like, oh, listen to this, you should get more step on. I was like, yep, definitely. Are we like, are they in Cardiff? He's like, nope. And I was like, he's like, you're playing London. All right, then, tidy, we'll be there.
Thanks for coming down, man. You guys are the best.
Pleasure, yeah. And thank you, Rossi, for sorting it out.
Yeah, big up, Ross.
Top.
Bad boy.
Chap. Thank you very much. Rossi. Sapman! What a terrible end. What a more...
Morgan killed it, boy.
Cheers, boys. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Nice one, John.
Lovely stuff.
Yes, Modestep right here on Sapnin Podcast. Whoa, who's that?
You fucking gone mad, but you've gone fully mental today. Yeah. You've gone fucking red with laughter as well. That was Modestep. Thank you very much to Josh and Pat for being so accommodating. And we went up to the London to see him.
We did.
To interview him. And it was awesome. Yeah, and
special thank you to Josh's family who let us gatecrash their house, really, to record the podcast.
Oh, yeah. I also, at that interview, it was the first time I've ever stroked a hairless cat.
Yeah, that was a bit weird. That was the first time for me as well.
Yeah, it was very, very strange. Mm. Felt like I scored them.
Anyway.
Yep, moving on. Weird cat. Oh, yeah, when we were in London, we had a game of Spot the Famous Person, because I was making a joke that everybody in London is famous.
Yeah, and guess what, guys? I won.
Morgan spotted Matt Johnson.
Welsh TV presenter. He does the postcode lottery.
Yes, he does. He's on the postcode lottery adverts, and he's normally on all those morning television programs like Jeremy Vine and
Good Morning Britain.
Good Morning Britain and stuff. Something like that. He's on all kind of.
Yeah, he's got a podcast as well called The Naked Professors, which is all about mental health as well. So check that out. He's got a lovely voice, so cracking in the old lugs, in the old years. And
I'd like to get him on here sometime.
Yeah, I'd like to get him on here. He's a lovely, lovely chap. I've known him before my musical career took off and his TV career took off. We were kind of like both small and in like, he was a small journalist and we were in a small band and then we kind of grew together and he's still growing when we died.
Oh, bless. Don't cry, Sean, it's fine. But again, thanks to Modestep for inviting us down to London.
Yep, thank you.
And letting us gatecrash Josh's family's house.
Yep, and thank you to the manager for sorting it out.
Yes.
That was very, very kind of him. So
also, Modestep will be DJing the after party of Slam Dunk Hatfield this year.
Which one are we going to, Mark?
The very same.
Oh, I'll see you in the dance pit. I don't know what that was. I'm going mental.
We're both going mental.
Yeah, carry on.
Yeah, so we will be in the dance pit.
Yep.
At Slam Dunk Hatfield.
Tops off.
Tops off party, as well as loads of other festivals, including 2000 Trees, Download, and Reading Festival.
Yep.
So if there's any acts at those festivals you'd like us to speak to, twitter.com/sappeningpod, instagram.com/sappeningpod, and let us know and tag them as well, and we can sort some things out, hopefully.
Yes. Yes, we can. Any more?
If you'd like to support the podcast in any way.
Oh, we did the Patreon thing earlier. Patreon.com/sappening. We don't need to give them all the jargon. I feel bad.
Okay, but please, if you can, that would mean a lot. Thank you.
No, it does mean a lot. I'm not grateful. Morgan, just, I feel bad for everybody having to listen to us say Patreon and struggle constantly. So, we've got these fantastic people that we need to thank. Thank you very much to Emma Barber, Paul Hirschfield, Kylie Wheeler, Scarlett Charlton, Melissa O'Shea, Sam Ledgerwood, Becky Malioko, nailed it, John Price, Martina McManus, Emily Senegals. Get an A, like. Lucy Diaz, Mark Planton, Luke Price, Kieran Lewis, Marcy Jacobson, Lydia Henderson, Kelly Cannon, Scott Jones, Mike Cunningham, Jenny Robinson, Tony Michael, Mitch Perry, the fiancé of Emily. So, thank you very much, Mitch, for getting engaged to her, because her surname is an absolute pain for me to try and guess every week. So, from now on, she's going to be known as Emily Perry. So, in your face, Emily, formerly Senegals. It's now Emily Perry. Cheers, Mitch, for becoming a Patreon. That'll teach her. And also, the fabulous Glenn Rice. Cheers.
Yeah. that was a hell of a pronunciation of many of those names on your part.
Thanks.
And
what do you think Becky's name is? She literally is a girl on here called Becky. Her surname is spelled MAGLIOCCO, right? And she was like, I've signed up just to hear you cock up my name.
I think you got it right.
Becky Malioko.
I think that's correct.
I think
Malioko.
That's a silent G.
We'll find out.
Oh, I bet I'm wrong, and I bet I'm going to have it rubbed in my face, and someone's going to make memes of it.
But if you're listening and you have a really weird name, sign up to the Patreon, the good tiers, and we can try and butcher or pronounce your name correctly on the podcast.
It's a good guessing
in the
game,
future.
Especially if you definitely don't tell us.
Yeah, it's a good laugh.
So thank you very much. It's been episode 24. Episode 25 next week, which is one quarter of the way to 100.
Wow.
Unbelievable. I don't know, we've managed to keep the guests going for so long.
Well, we've got a nice surprise next week as well for the listeners. So
what was that? Oh, we can't tell them now.
No.
All right. Ta-da!
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free
or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.